Because there's a membership class. You can join this family here at Word of Life right at the end of this service. If you'd like to become a member of Word of Life, we have a membership class starting not right now. I'm supposed to read this at the end of service. But at the end of service, right then, it's only 30 minutes. And on your way out, you can stop by the Info Center. And they will escort you to the membership class. The Info Center is that thing out there that's round, has the flat screens right out there in the center of the foyer as you go up through those back exit doors. We'd love to have you join our church family. Every week we're getting at least 7 to 10 families joining the church here lately. It's been awesome. We're so thankful for all the people who are joining. If you're joining today, we're excited about having you, and we look forward to meeting you and greeting you, seeing you get plugged in. It's an awesome thing as to what God is doing here at Word of Life. And I heard all the ladies had a great time yesterday at the Bloom event. Yeah, I heard it went well. And I tell you what, guys, from what I heard, they beat us in attendance. So, you know, we got to step up. We broke the barrier. We showed them how it's done. But they took it and carried it a little bit further than us. And so we need to come back. And in fact, the men's meeting is called Mighty Men. We'll be meeting again in May if you want to come out to that. We'd love to have you. All of our big men's meetings like that and women's meetings for men, the Mighty Men for women, the Bloom event, they are all free. With that, we make them free because we want to see you come as often as you can, because we want to give God an opportunity to impact your life in some way. And let me just stop right here and say this. It is amazing to me as to how generous this body of believers is. I have made a purpose. I mean, I purposed before God when I took over the church that I would never, ever make a big pool for tithes and offerings. That anyone who comes to this place, I want them to give because they're stirred up out of their love for God, that there's no arm twisting or manipulation. You know, now on Sundays, we don't even pass buckets. We have the thing out there, our tithe and offering segment of the church that we do. It's a minute and 30 seconds. That's all we do talking about money here at the church. And that's amazing to me to see how many people give tithes and offerings simply because they love God. And with that, we're able to put on free events. We're able to hand out free packages to everyone who comes into healing school. We're able to give free books to everyone who comes down for prayer. We're able to be in this building for a year and haven't talked about needing any money or paying off any building or anything like that. At the same time, we're able to spend tens of thousands down at the Life Poindexter. We're getting ready to open up a brand new outreach down there, and we're going to stock it full of stuff to bless that community with and be a blessing. And we're still giving tens of thousands to other ministries each and every month, all without making any big pulls for tithes or offerings, because God has touched your heart and you're giving to God because you love Him and not because I'm forcing you to out of manipulation of speech. And so that's just awesome to me, your heart towards God, your heart towards the church. So thank you to everyone who gives tithes and offerings to Word of Life. Amen. Amen, amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, man, we sure would love to give you one. Once again, it's just our way of being good to you. We want you to learn the Bible. And so if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. We're opening up those Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. I'm starting a new series this morning. We will see how long it goes. But it's entitled Walking in the Fog. And fog stands for the favor of God. And I'll be honest with you, I've been preaching now for about 10 years. And I never really have done a big drawn out series on the favor of God. And I don't know why, other than perhaps maybe to me, every time I've heard the favor of God being taught, it always came across as a little cheesy to me. The only thing the favor of God could do was to get you a better parking spot at Walmart or perhaps give you a discount at the mall. And it just seemed to me whenever I read about the favor of God that there was something so much deeper than that. And over the last couple of months, I'm telling you, I've studied this subject and look forward to even studying it more. And I see how the favor of God truly is a life-changing substance. And when it comes upon your life, friend, I'm telling you, it's amazing the results it can accomplish. And one of the things that we're going to get into in this series is that you have the capacity to increase in favor, to walk in the favor of God, to be a favor finder. And if you do, friend, and mainly what I want to do to you today is to instruct you on what the favor of God can do to hopefully stir your heart up to want to know how to walk in it and how to increase in it. One of the first scriptures that I began studying is here in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, you see the church being born in the earth. It's fascinating to see how fast it grew and what all was taking place. And I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it many times. I'll say it again this morning. My father used to always tell me, if you want to see how to live your life, look at the life of Jesus. And that if you follow anyone else, make sure they're following Jesus. Because Jesus is our supreme role model on what a life should look like. We should aim to live the life he lived and to love the way he loved, those types of things. But then he always said, if you want to see what a church should look like, you can look at one place. You don't have to go all over the world to see what a church should look like. If you want to see what a church should look like, look in the book of Acts. And one particular day I started reading through the book of Acts just over and over and over again to see what a church should look like. And in Acts chapter 2, when the church is being born in the earth before religion got a hold of it, we see 9 key things that were happening in the church. 9 things that God put in the church to make the church grow and to start to spread the kingdom of God all over the earth. And those 9 things are as follows. Number 1, they had the teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God was emphasized and the Word of God was growing. Friends, you should come to church to learn the Word of God. Yeah, church should be entertaining. We're trying to make church as interesting and entertaining as possible. We want to put on good events, and we want to have free coffee and fun cafes and great children's programs. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and it's all done and the lights go off, we want our attenders, the people who come to Word of Life, knowing the Word of God better than when they came, knowing the Bible better than when they came. That's principle number 1. Principle number 2, they had fellowships. They went from house to house and fellowship with people of like precious faith. Number 3, they took communion. Number 4, they were a people of prayer. Number 5, they saw miracles. A church ought to see miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. Number 6, they had a heart for outreach. Oh, every church should have a heart for outreach. Number 7, they had unity. The people were of one heart, one voice, and one mind. Number 8, they had a praise in their mouth. And number 9, God gave them a supernatural divine quality that only he can give, that made the early church explode in numbers. Number 9, they had the favor of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it said they were praising God, talking about the early church, Acts 2 and 47. They were praising God and having favor. If you have a pen or a highlighter, I want you to underline or highlight that word, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They had favor with all the people. And because of this favor, the church started increasing. Things were being added to the church. The church began to multiply because of this substance called favor. What is the favor of God? I've studied it out a good bit. Like I said, listened to a lot of different preachers on it, read a lot of different books, and I found a couple of different examples, or not examples, but definitions for what people think the favor of God is. These are the ones I like best. I'll probably read them a little bit quick here, so if you don't get them all, that's incentive to go online and download the podcast, which is free. So you can go there or get a CD. Here's one person, one preacher said, the favor of God is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. I like that. It's simple. The favor of God is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Another person said, another preacher, the favor of God is God's goodness displayed. I like this one. God's goodness displayed in an individual's life in such a way that only God can get the credit. I like that. You've seen so much of the goodness of God that you and everybody else could only point to God as the source for that goodness. You couldn't point to your effort or someone else's gift. It's just so much of the goodness of God that only God could get the credit for it. That's the favor of God. Favor, one preacher said, is the acceptance. This is deep. Acceptance, approval, and assistance of God awarded to us by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's deep. And finally, another one said, it is God graciously working to optimize my life for my good and God's glory. I like that. Here's what I've found when I've studied favor. The favor of God is so much more. It can include, but it's so much more than God just doing you a favor. It's so much more than that. Mary was a woman who found favor with God. And when she found favor with God, that favor enabled her to do more than get the lead stall at the barn. When she found favor with God, God's power came upon Mary's life. It caused a miracle to take place in her life. She was the mother of Jesus Christ, our risen King. That favor came upon her so strong, and it did two things. The first thing it did was it helped her fulfill her divine purpose. And number two, it enabled her to have good success. There's no way she, Mary, could have fulfilled the plan of God for her life without the favor of God. But when the favor of God comes in your life, the first and foremost reason it comes is it comes to help you fulfill your divine purpose. And number two, it caused her to have good success. It drew to her everything she and Joseph needed to take care of her family. In fact, wise men came from miles and miles away and laid down gifts. Those gifts were more than just showing Jesus pretty things. Those gifts had enough value, theologians say, to carry them forth as a family financially for the next 3 years. The favor of God came upon her life to first cause her to achieve the plan of God, and secondly, to bring her good success. Another person who found favor with God was Noah. When God's favor came upon Noah's life, it enabled him to do more than go into the fish market and get 20% off. I'm not saying that didn't happen. It could happen. That could be a byproduct of favor. But when Noah found favor with God, strength and wisdom came in his life to, number one, help him fulfill God's plan for his life, which was to build the likes of a boat, an engineering feat that the world had never seen before. It enabled him to accomplish the plan of God for his life. And two, it brought him good success. Friends, the favor of God for any Christian, it is essential. It's essential. When is the last time you started believing for God's favor? God's favor attracts to you what you need to do His plan for your life in this earth. And that's not the most important thing, but and it brings good success. Or number one is the most important thing. Number two, the good success, it's less of importance than number one, but it is a byproduct of the favor of God. It'll bring you good success. How does this favor work? I think the answer is found in what the Bible's definition for favor is. One thing to keep in mind when you're studying this subject, especially in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the word grace and favor, they are the exact same word. Anytime you see the word grace, it also could be translated favor. For whatever reason, when they were writing in the King James, sometimes they took that Greek word and translated it grace. Sometimes they took it and translated it favor. But they are the exact same word. You've heard that favor means unmerited benefits, undeserved gifts, things like that. That's part of it, but that's not the lead definition I see when I study it out in the Bible. When I study out the original Greek and Hebrew words, what the favor of God means is this, and this is coming directly from Strong's Concordance, not from a preacher. It's coming from the Greek and Hebrew definitions of the words. What it means is this, the divine influence of God upon the heart. And its reflection in the life. The divine influence of God upon the heart and its reflection in life. What does that mean? That sounds like kind of a complicated thing. The divine influence of God upon the heart. How is that the favor of God? How will that bring me good success? Its reflection in life. What does that mean? I'll give you an example. This past Christmas, me, my wife, and our two kids, along with my sister-in-law and her two kids, all went up to Birmingham, Alabama. My wife and her sister, that's where they have a lot of family. So we went up there around Christmas time to celebrate Christmas with her family. And we were coming back into Jackson to preach for that Sunday because, as you recall, Christmas fell on Sunday this year. So we were coming back so I could preach in that service. And we're coming through Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Now, it was around lunchtime, and we were talking about, hey, guys, where do you want to go eat? And I don't know if it's this way in your house, but it's this way in mine, literally. 99% of the time, every time we go out to eat, it's everyone's hungry, and then you ask, well, what do you want to eat? And, oh, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. So, you know, most of the time you ramble on for the next 15, 20 minutes while everyone's still hungry, talking about we don't care what we eat. And so I came up with the solution. Basically, what I'll do with my wife is say, if you don't say something within the next 10 minutes as to what you want, I'm pulling over and I'm taking you to Taco Bell. And the reason why I say Taco Bell is she can't stand Taco Bell. So immediately, and she knows I'm serious, I'm a man of my word. So immediately she starts thinking, I've got to think of something that's sounds good to me, or else we're going to eat at Taco Bell. So typically, that's how I break that rut. But she started doing it to me now. But anyway, my point is on this particular day, as soon as I said, hey, guys, you know, it's lunchtime. Where do you want to eat? My sister-in-law spoke up, and she said, you know what? I've really been wanting to eat ever since we started coming back from Birmingham back into Jackson. I keep thinking about this restaurant in Tuscaloosa called the 15th Street Diner. Now, that's not a chain. It's just a diner that's down there in the kind of the downtown part of that town. And she said, I used to eat there a lot as a kid, and I haven't thought about it for years, but that sounds good to me. Let's go there. And so I said, well, I'm open to something new. Let's go try it out. So we got off the interstate and went down a couple of roads and went to this little restaurant, the 15th Street Diner. It's in kind of an old looking shopping center, a kind of strip mall deal. And we pulled in there and got out, went into the restaurant. It's kind of like a hole in the wall. It wasn't overly crowded, a little bit understaffed as far as wait staff goes. But we go into the restaurant there and we sit down and the waitress comes to the table. And she was a lady probably in her mid-50s. And as soon as I saw her, my heart went out to her. I remember what favor is. It's the divine influence of God upon your heart and its reflection in this life. As soon as I see this woman, my heart goes out to her. Now, I don't know her story. I hadn't talked to her. The only thing I said to her that day up to that point was hearing her say what the day special was and me telling her what I wanted to eat and drink. But I knew in my heart that there was something I was supposed to do for her. And then within a couple of minutes, it popped up in my heart exactly what I was to do for her. That there was a certain amount of money that the Lord put on my heart that was pretty substantial to bless her with. And I knew I was supposed to do it. I knew the exact amount. I wasn't in a huge time of prayer, just living my life. But on the inside, I knew I'm supposed to do this for this lady. So it was one of those restaurants where when you're done, you go up to the cashier at the front of the door. And, you know, you pay him basically as you're going out. You don't pay the waitress and she brings back the money. You go to the front door. And so I went to the front door, paid for my meal, came back, had the cash in my hand that I knew that I was supposed to bless her with, saw her come up. And I just reached out my hand and shook her hand and put the money in her hand. I said, I just want to tell you good job and that God loves you and he wants to bless you. And let that be that. Walked back to the table. And we finished talking as a family, just maybe 3 to 5 minutes. Got up and we're walking out and she's standing there as we're walking out with just huge tears coming down her cheeks. Saying, you'll never know what this means, basically. She said, this is the exact amount of money I need to basically give my family a decent Christmas. And anyway, it's just one of those deals where it's awesome when you obey God like that and you see the fruit of it in someone's life. But anyway, as I was walking out of the building, I was thinking about even all the way back to the car. We're driving on the interstate. Well, where do you guys want to go eat today? Immediately, someone speaks up and says, you know, I've been thinking about the 15th Street Diner for just ever since we got into the car. Let's go there and eat. That the favor of God was at work on that lady's life. That day, the favor of God was resting upon her. What did it do when favor came on her life? It influenced not only my heart, but also my sister-in-law's heart, even without her, I'm sure, even knowing it, that we need to go there and eat lunch today. And when we get there to go eat lunch, I need to bless her with this amount of money in order for the blessing of the Lord to come on her family this Christmas. The favor of God was upon her life. This is how favor works, friends. When the favor of God comes on your life, comes on your business, comes on your company, it literally moves the hearts of other people to want to be good to you. But even more than that, it begins to empower you to accomplish the plan of God for your life. And it also empowers you to have good success. In studying this issue, I definitely wanted to study out of the New Testament. Because it just seems like with a lot of preachers, you use a lot of times people use just any stories to get amens and sometimes take a story out of context in order to elicit applause from the people they are speaking to. And my goal in all of our teachings is for you not to leave this place impressed with my oratorical ability, but rather you leave this place with an understanding of the true Word of God. And in the New Testament, we see that there are two examples here in the book of Acts that a man named Stephen uses in his message to talk about how God's favor works. He uses these two examples. You can see it here in Acts chapter 7. Let's find out who these examples are. And if you can understand these examples, you can understand how the favor of God operates. Acts chapter 7. And let's look here in verse 9. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, and the patriarchs moved with envy. This is a man named Stephen preaching to the Pharisees, preaching to the doctors of the law in the synagogue. And he uses this example under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in his message. So it just made sense for me to use it in my message. And watch what he says here in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It said, and the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with them. That's like our song, "Because He's with me, I shall not fear." But God was with him. And watch what God did for him in verse 10. "And delivered him out of all his afflictions." Question: was God putting afflictions in Joseph's life to teach him something? No. What do we see God doing here? Not God putting afflictions in Joseph's life, but rather taking him out of all afflictions. "And delivered him out of all his afflictions." Now watch this next part. "And gave him favor." Who gave who favor? God gave Joseph favor. Say this with me. Say, God is a giver of favor. God gives favor. God gave Joseph favor. He delivered him out of all his afflictions, and notice this, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now, if you read the story, we're going to read it here in a minute. It says that God made Joseph a ruler over all of Pharaoh's house. But when you read the story in the book of Genesis, nowhere in there does Pharaoh mention, "Hey, God's really been dealing with me. And you know what? I just really feel God's been dealing with me to make you ruler over all this kingdom." No, he didn't say that because he didn't know it was God. This is what the favor of God does. When the favor of God came on Joseph's life, God divinely influenced Pharaoh's heart to make him the ruler over all of that land. God put it on the heart of Pharaoh, "Joseph's the one who can lead us into a place of success." Pharaoh thought it was his idea to be good to Joseph. But when you read this, you see it wasn't just Pharaoh being good to Joseph. It was God putting his favor on Joseph's life. And when Joseph got around favor, that favor made room for Joseph and promoted him to that place. Why did it promote him to that place? Not just to bless him, that was part of it, but it was the plan of God for Joseph's life to be in that place to not only save Egypt, but the surrounding nations as well from the upcoming famine. Friends, the favor of God, it is radically potent. And when it comes on your life, when it comes on your business, when it comes in your company, when it comes in your work, friend, I'm telling you, it will change everything about your existence. I want to show you what it did for Joseph. In closing, go over to Genesis chapter 39 and let's read this account directly from there. God is a giver of favor. What does favor do? It's empowering you to do the will of God for your life. Well, what does that mean? It means it's going to draw everyone and everything you need to you to accomplish His plan. If you start a new business and you want to know, how is this thing going to get off the ground? The favor of God will draw to you everything you need to accomplish God's plan and for you to have success. How's this going to start? How are we going to get going with this? The favor of God will put you in the right place at the right time, give you favor with even heathen individuals, and they don't even know why they're doing it. In fact, they think it's their idea, but God has influenced their heart to help you run your race. It's the favor of God. Genesis chapter 39. Let's see this account firsthand. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was a man who his father loved, and his brothers got the impression that his father loved Joseph more than them. They really realized that when the father gave Joseph a coat of many colors, and man, that just bothered them. And Joseph would run around in that coat right in front of them all day, and every time they saw it, it just got angrier and angrier and angrier over this coat. And one day Joseph, he's got a dream. And in his dream, he sees his brothers bowing down to him. And Joseph had more zeal than he had wisdom. And he ran in his coat, man, in his coat, and told his brothers, "Hey, I had a dream last night." "Well, what was your dream, Joseph?" "I saw all you guys bowing down to me." And when he said that, oh, they were filled with envy, as Acts said. And envy, oh, it's a dangerous thing. They made a decision, "We're going to kill this boy. This is the last time he's opened up his mouth. And not only are we going to kill him, we're going to take his little coat too." And so they take him out into the wilderness, and they're making a decision. They're going to end Joseph's life. And in this place, finally, one of the brothers speaks up and says, "Hey, guys, you know, it's probably not a good idea. Let's just throw him in this pit." And he's thinking, "Hey, this will all blow over. We'll throw Joseph in this pit, and I'll come and rescue Joseph out of it." But while he's gone, the other brothers make a decision to sell Joseph into slavery. Now, this is the situation that Joseph's life is in. Now, I don't know what you're going through this morning or what you're facing, but I'm telling you, whatever it is, the favor of God can change it. Joseph's life here, I guarantee you, is probably worse than in the natural, than anyone in this place this morning. Joseph is a slave who is about to be bought. He doesn't control his future in the natural. He doesn't control what he's going to eat, where he's going to sleep. When you're in that state of where he was at, you have no control over where your life is going. And he's bought by a man named Potiphar in this condition. And watch what happens in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of those ites which had brought him down thither. Thither's a great word. Watch what happens when they bought him. Verse 2. And the Lord was what? With Joseph. And he was what? Wait a minute. How can you be a prosperous man and be a slave at the same time? In the natural, it's an impossibility. But with the favor of God, friend, I'm telling you, nothing in the natural is a hindering force for the favor of God. I don't care what is happening in your sector of business. I don't care what is happening with the economy. I don't care what happens in Greece, Italy, or in any other country that finds itself in debt. I don't care if tomorrow everyone in one sector got laid off and you are in that sector. If the favor of God is upon you, nothing can hinder your success. No force, nothing in the natural. Joseph was a slave, but yet he was still a prosperous man. Not only that, but watch this in verse 3. And the master saw that the Lord was with him. Meaning that the favor of God can be so tangible on your life that even other people recognize something's different. You're producing results and other people think something's different. His master saw that the Lord was with him. How? Because the Lord was making all that he did to prosper in his hand. Notice what the favor of God will do. Everything you put your hand to begins to prosper. When you begin to go to work on it, it starts to click over and it starts to succeed. Why? Because you're not just experiencing success for just success. It's empowering you to do the plan of God. And as a byproduct of that, you enjoy good success. Think about Joseph's high calling in God. His high calling was to run a nation. His high calling was to be over this place, to save all these people from famine. So think about what happens. He gets in Potiphar's house. The favor of God hits him. Not only does it prosper him, but watch what this man does, Potiphar does for Joseph. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him what? Overseer of his over his house and all that he had put in his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and all that he had in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not which he had, save the bread which he did eat. Meaning he didn't know any of the intricacies of this operation he was running, because Joseph was over it all. He had so much faith in his ability, and his house was being blessed because Joseph was there. Why? Why was all this happening? And Joseph was a goodly person and well what? Favored. The favor of God was upon Joseph's life for two reasons. Number one, God knew Joseph needed a little bit of training. He needs to run something. He can't run a nation if he's never run anything before. So God's favor came upon him even as a slave and exalted him to the ruler over an entire house. Why? Training for what he was doing. But then secondly, all across the way, all during that time, he's also experiencing good success. Everything he's putting his hand to is prospering. Everything in that household was blessed. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord was upon that house. And when the blessing of the Lord touches any entity, it will prosper every time. Friends, all of this happened because Joseph was favored. God gave him favor. I wish I could just pause right now and just open up everyone's mind and give them a picture of what life could be like tomorrow if you woke up in the morning and were just a smidged more favored. Just had a little bit more of the sprinkling of the favor of God in your life, how radically different your life could be. We don't have stories like this in the Bible to entertain us. We have stories like this in the Bible to instruct us. And here's a big difference. Entertainment provides a story that we could tell to a Bible school kid over in preschool and say, isn't that great what God did for Joseph? Instruction is learn this so you can do it too. Success leaves clues. A wise man will receive instruction and increase his learning, Proverbs says. Here we see an example of a man who walked in the favor of God. And you see that even in this, and I'll close with this, think about what happens next in Joseph's life. And this is important. Joseph's life hits another round of adversity. In this life, you will face tests and trials. You know the story. Joseph, he's experiencing all the success. Potiphar's wife goes crazy and decides that she's going to try to make a move on Joseph. Joseph resists that move. She feels so scorned by him that she says that this man forced himself on her and that she had his coat. Well, his coat's always getting in trouble. She had his coat in her hands and she stripped it off of him when he was running away. And he gets thrown into prison and people would say, man, I'm in adversity. Where's the favor of God in this? Watch what happens in Joseph's life. In the middle of all this adversity, he gets thrown into prison. And this is not country club prison with TV and internet time. This is old school prison. This is, you know, early century prison. This is chains and whips and dirt floors and mud. And, you know, if you get fed, it's because the dogs of the king didn't get fed. That type of prison. And so with this, you see that even in the middle of this, watch what happens in Joseph's life. Genesis 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. In all of this, the Lord was with him and showed him mercy and gave him what? Favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. What? Here you got a prisoner being brought into prison. The prison keeper sees the new prisoner and says, you know what? You ought to run this place. How in the world does that happen? The Lord gave Joseph what? In the sight of who? the keeper of the prison. What happens when you have favor in someone like that sight? His heart immediately wants to see Joseph's life work out for good. And he doesn't even know it's God, but God is divinely influencing the heart of the keeper of that prison. And watch what happens next. Verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. That'd be a good job. Here, this man's getting paid in his own paid vacation. He's just letting Joseph run the place. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Even in jail, he's prospering. Not only is he prospering, here's where I'm getting at. Not only is he experiencing good success, even in prison, but guess what else he's doing? He's getting trained for the will of God. Once again, what's he doing? He's not only enjoying good success, but he is running something, my friend. Why is he running something? Because what's his high calling? It is to run that nation. And you see that the very next step for Joseph is finally he finds himself in front of Pharaoh. And God gives him favor in Pharaoh's sight. And favor says, you know what? You ought to be running this nation. Potiphar saw him. God gave him favor with Potiphar. And Potiphar said, you know what? You ought to be over this whole house. Then he goes into prison. The keeper of the prison says, you know what? You ought to be over this prison. Why? It was the favor of God. Then the king of the most powerful nation, that'd be like our president today. You go into his office and the president says, you know what? You ought to be running this place. Hands you the keys to the whole nation. The whole nation. How does that happen? The favor of God was on his life to such an extent that he began seeing miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles, breakthrough after breakthrough, prosperity in the middle of adversity, not just so God could make him rich. This is where people missed it with the favor of God. It's not just where God can give you a bigger house or discounts. It is to help you do the thing that God has called you to do. The good success is a byproduct of the plan. The plan is always blessed. Friend, I want to encourage you, be a favor finder. Be a favor finder. How much of the favor of God are you looking for each and every day? How much thanks did you give today of the favor of God that's in your life? What we're going to teach you on is how to increase in favor. The Bible says you can increase in favor. You can walk in more grace and you can increase in favor. We're going to talk about how to increase in the favor of God, how you can walk in more grace. I don't have time to get to it today. I could because you're the last service, but then, you know, it's 12:30 and where are you going to eat lunch? You know, maybe we could break some bread or something, five loaves, two fish type thing. But anyway, we need the favor of God for that. But my point is, come back next week. But until then, here's what I want you to do. Wake up every day and do two things. First thing, look back over and begin looking for the favor that you've seen in life up to this point. And start giving thanks for it. Be a favor finder. Look for the favor that God has already shown you. And then number two, just say something as simple as this. Father, I thank you for the favor of God that's on my life today. And just what you did for Joseph, you are not a respecter of persons. You will do for me. So Father, bless my household because the favor's on me. Let everything I put my hand to today prosper so that not only I can experience good success, but I want to do your plan in this life. And to do it, I need your favor. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Do that every day. And the more you do it, I think you'll see an increase of the favor of God in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray this morning. Father, we